with you this morning, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, 18 to chapter 2, verse 6. We're going to read the story of Christmas and talk about the baby of Bethlehem. We're going to be reading from Matthew's account of the Christmas story. And sometimes we do the Luke account that talks about the shepherds, and sometimes we do the Matthew account that talks more about the wise men. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw a star as it arose, and we have come to worship him. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. Father, we just pray your blessing upon your word here today. We pray that, Lord, that your spirit will be upon this word, Lord, just as it was written thousands of years ago. And that, Lord, it would speak life to all who hear it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this being the Christmas season, it's kind of an obvious thing to talk about, to share with you about the story of Bethlehem, the baby of Bethlehem in the Christmas story. And, you know, really, we're very blessed in this season. There are many reminders of the story of Christmas, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And as you read this story, sometimes as you read it, you might be challenged to wonder, you know, did all these things really happen? Did these things really take place? And the answer to that is, yes, they did. Just as the scriptures have told us, just as the eyewitness accounts have said, this Christmas story about the baby of Bethlehem is a true story. It's a beautiful story. It's an important story. And it's been verified by eyewitnesses. It's been verified by history. It's been verified by scriptures written centuries before. And it's been verified by millions and millions of people throughout the ages. Our celebration of Christmas should be a celebration that should continue until our Lord Jesus himself comes again. Because it's one of the greatest days of history that Jesus came into our world. Now the Christmas story, as you read it in the Bibles, it's really only a few chapters. But these verses are filled with important information, important truths, things that we need to pay attention to. And as I was reading the Christmas story of the baby of Bethlehem, the names attributed in this story about Jesus really stood out to me. And all the names that are mentioned in this short portion of scripture that we just read, it is filled with a lot of names that mean much. And in those days, names meant a lot for people. Not as much as maybe they do today for us, but in those times, a name was very, very important. And as we read the story of the baby of Christmas, there's a lot of names that are given that tell us of the identity of this baby. And so that's what I want to share with you as we focus on this message here today. I want to focus on the names of the baby of Bethlehem, because there's a lot of names that are given to this baby, most that we recognize, and once I go through them, you'll probably recognize them as well. But they just mean so much, and I thought this is where we'd like to go as we celebrate this Christmas and as we celebrate this day. Now, the first name we see introduced to us of the baby of Bethlehem, as we read this passage of Scripture this morning, is the name Messiah. Matthew 1:18, that's where we started with. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. Now, it really is an unusual story. A woman that became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And yet, as we read that, how that happened, it's something that was prophesied and written in Scripture centuries before that would happen exactly this way. And it's interesting that the Jewish people were expecting this miracle to happen just as it was written in the book of Isaiah. And it tells us that many of the women, the virgins of the Jewish origin, that they were looking forward to that maybe they would be the one chosen to give birth to the Messiah. And the Bible tells us that a virgin would conceive a child and that that child would be the Messiah. The Messiah means the Christ, the anointed one of God, the one that comes from God, the promised one, the expected deliverer of the Jews. And the Jewish people were very much looking forward to the coming of this Messiah, that he would be sent from God and that he would come and deliver them from the cruelty at the time of the Roman government and the Roman rule, but also to come and to deliver them from their sins. So this baby of Bethlehem came into our world that day with extreme accuracy as to what the Scriptures foretold centuries before. And they said that this baby would have the name Messiah, the Messiah of the Jews, but also Messiah really for all the world as well, because that's a truth that we all need to come to realize and acknowledge during this Christmas season, that we would recognize this baby of Bethlehem as the Messiah of God that was sent from God to come into our world to deliver us. And see, that's a truth that every Christian must believe and must acknowledge, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Something that's very important. You know, Jesus asked this question to his disciples as we read later on in the book of Matthew, and he's saying, who do people say I am? And that's a question that really continues to be asked today, that God would ask each one of us in our world today, who do you say that this baby of Christmas really is? Who is this baby of Christmas to you? I like how Peter responded to Jesus when Jesus asked the apostles that question. And he stood up and said in Matthew 16:16, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And that's a declaration of truth that we need to realize and also acknowledge today, that this baby of Christmas, this baby of Bethlehem, is the Messiah, the very Son of God sent into our world. That's something we need to acknowledge. That's something that we need to understand. So who is this baby of Christmas? He is the Messiah. Then secondly, in this Christmas story, we see that the name of Jesus is also given to this baby. Matthew 1:21, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So the name given to this baby of Bethlehem was given by God himself and was communicated through an angel in a dream to Joseph to make sure that as this baby was born, that his name would be Jesus. And again, names were very important back then. And as we look at this name, the name of Jesus means the Lord saves. The Lord saves. It means Savior. And again, as we said, names were so important And the angel wanted to make sure that this name would be declared over this Messiah, that he would be declared with the name Jesus. He was to be a Savior that would save us from the penalty of sin, which was death. And he paid that price of sin on the cross of Calvary that we might be forgiven and granted eternal life in heaven. He became our Savior. But from that birth, he was given the name Jesus to speak of what he was going to be doing, that he was going to save his people from their sins. And it's a name that is greater than any other name in all of the world or even the universe. And the simple reason why it is greater is because only Jesus did something about our sin. Only he came to save us from sin. It's interesting what the scriptures say of that name, Jesus. It tells us in Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There's no other name but the name of Jesus that you can be saved and can have eternal life with God. Philippians 2:9 to 11 says, therefore God elevated him, Jesus, to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This baby of Christmas, this baby of Bethlehem, was given a name above all other names. And it's the name of Jesus. Sometimes we just hear that name, Jesus, and we don't maybe think about it in these terms or in these thoughts that you're mentioning a name that is greater than any other name. That's why the enemy of our soul wants us to curse that name. And that's why today in our society today, many people use that name as a curse word instead of a word that we are declared that it's a name above all other names. It's a name that every knee one day is going to bow, and one day they're all going to confess. No matter how wicked people get, there'll be a day where they'll come and they'll fall on their knees and say, yes, Jesus is the name above all names, and I choose to acknowledge him today. See, that name Jesus, it was declared so because he was to be a Savior to save us from sin. He was born to die. That's why he came. He came to die for us. And he did die for us. He went to that cross for us. He paid that price of death for us, so that we could be forgiven and restored in relationship with God. So it's a name where there is no equal. The name of Jesus is the greatest name in the universe because it's only Jesus that has brought us salvation. Who is this baby of Bethlehem? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Thirdly, this baby of Bethlehem was given the name Emmanuel. Another very powerful name. Matthew 1:23, it says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Now again, this passage comes out of the book of Isaiah, again, written centuries before, prophesying, telling that this is going to happen. And it declares and shows us that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the promised Messiah that was to come from God, and that he'd be literally the Emmanuel, the God with us in human form. So the name denotes that Jesus basically is the God-man, both human and also divine, all wrapped up into one. And this God would not just be with us in human form, but he would also be with us forever. And we see that Jesus promises that very thing, that he would be with us at all times, always. And that was a promise. Matthew 28:20 says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So as Jesus was ascending into the heavens, he wanted to make sure that we knew one more thing. I am with you always. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. You might not feel me, So often we go by our feelings. God said, I am with you, no matter you feel me or not. I am with you always. And so this baby of Bethlehem has been declared to be our Emmanuel. And he continues to be our Emmanuel to this very day because he is still God. He's still the God who is with us today, tomorrow, and into our future. He is the God of Bethlehem. He is our Emmanuel. Then a fourth name given to this baby of Bethlehem is the title King. This babe of Bethlehem is a king. A declaration that was declared by the Magi, the wise men that came from the east. As they came, they said, where is this king of the Jews? Matthew 2:2. Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. I'm so amazed as I read that passage of scripture and read the story of the wise men, how that these individuals through the study of the stars recognized that Jesus was coming. Even the stars proclaim the glory of God. Even the stars speak. And they recognized that. And they recognized that a Savior, that the King of the Jews was to be born. And yet the scribes, the priests, the ministers of the time weren't even looking. The people were, but they weren't. And finally, the King Herod, he calls the scribes and the Pharisees to come to him and say, well, where is this king supposed to be born? And they knew the answer, Bethlehem. But there's no record of the priests or the Pharisees or the scribes running to Bethlehem to see if this was true. Very sad statement there. But all this took place, again, to fulfill what was written hundreds of years ago, that a Messiah would come from the royal line of King David, a rightful heir to the throne. And so this baby of Bethlehem was born as a king. A name and an office that was acknowledged by the visiting magi of the day with their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, all gifts fit for a king. We also, as you read chapter 1 of Matthew, you see all those names. What they're doing there, Matthew is showing you that from King David right through to Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is off the royal line to receive the throne of David, to be a king. It was also a name that was acknowledged by Pilate. As Jesus was crucified on the cross, Pilate made sure that there was a name to be at the top of that cross, Jesus, the King of the Jews. Again, the Pharisees and scribes, they tried to wipe that name off. But Pilate said, no, what's up there stays. He was acknowledged as a king even in his death. And then again in Revelations, as we read the last book of the Bible, as it talks about the coming of the Lord, that when Jesus Christ returns, and I really believe that soon. I believe that Jesus is coming back soon. And as we've seen, all these other scriptures have come to pass of the coming of Christ. Then we also know that the scriptures that speak of the second coming of Christ are also going to take place. And we see that many things that are in the Bible today that said would happen, they're happening in our world this very day. But it tells us as Jesus comes back, it tells us that he returns as king. That's who he is. Tells us that in Revelations 19:16, it says, on his robe, on his thigh, was written this title, King of all kings, Lord of all lords. So he was off the royal line of David. He was born as a king, a rightful king. But he's returning as the King of all kings. King of kings. Lord of lords. That's who he is. Many missed his first appearance. Many of the Jewish people have missed his first appearance. You don't want to miss the second appearance as he returns as King of Kings, the Supreme One, to be worshipped, to be adored, and to be followed. You know, even in the spiritual realm, I just sense that, you know, there's already a gathering, and the angels are already gathering and lining up for processional of the king. I have that picture in mind. It just needs to be cemented in my mind. And often when I hear that song, All Hail King Jesus, All Hail Emmanuel, It's like I can look down at that door, and just like it opens up, and the king comes in. What would we do if he did walk in? I think we'd, as any king would, we'd be down on our knees, or we would bow low. We would give homage to that person. Well, he's telling them he is coming back. He's riding on a white horse. He will return in the clouds. Just as we saw him rise up in the clouds, he said he will return in those clouds. And he will take his place as king of all the nations. Who is this baby of Bethlehem? He is the king of kings. He is the king of all kings. Number five, another name given to this baby of Bethlehem, follows right along with that word king, and it adds the name ruler. Matthew 2:6. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you. A ruler is, well, like a king who governs and who rules with all authority. Jesus is that Messiah who will establish his kingdom on earth and will rule this earth with complete authority. The Bible tells us that every knee is going to bow. There is wickedness in our world today, but every wicked person is one day going to have to come and bend the knee before Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will end up ruling this whole earth, where he'll demand our service, our loyalty and allegiance. And he tells us that he'll rule with a rod of iron. He'll bring us into that subjection. So the time to acknowledge the rulership and to submit to the rulership of Jesus Christ is now, before he returns, that we might be, as he comes in the clouds, that we might be ready to receive him and welcome him. Because he wants to be acknowledged as ruler, as king, over our lives and over our futures. So make no mistake, this baby of Bethlehem is a ruler. He's a ruler of rulers. He's a supreme one. A declaration that the Apostle Paul declared in the book of Ephesians, where he says in Ephesians 1:21, now he, referring to Jesus, is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but in the world to come. So Paul was kind of saying, any questions? He's ruler of all. That's who he is. So Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem, is far more than a baby, but a ruler with all authority, all power, that will soon come and rule this world. Who is this baby of Bethlehem? He's the ruler of rulers. Number six, this baby of Bethlehem is called our shepherd. Matthew 2:6. But you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. What is a shepherd? A shepherd is one who leads, who herds, who guards the sheep. Interesting that the Bible gives us that name, that we're sheep. That's not really a flattery name, but we are. That's what God refers to us. We're sheep. And he tells us that we've all gone astray. We've all gone our own ways. But the shepherd has come to lead us and to guide us back into life and into everlasting life. This babe of Bethlehem has come to be our shepherd, to really to be a fulfillment of Psalm 23 that we often quote and read as words of comfort for us. The first verses say, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. And on it goes, talking about the wonderful things that our divine shepherd will do for us, like fulfilling our needs, like comforting us, strengthening us, guiding us, walking with us, even through our darkest valleys. That's who this baby is. He's the divine shepherd. John 10:11 says of Jesus, he's the one that's speaking it, and he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. That's what a good shepherd does. What did Jesus do for us? Sacrificed his life for us. Gave his life for the sheep. Went to the cross for us in our place. Died in our place. Paid the price of sin, which was death, that we might have that opportunity to have peace with God and eternal life in heaven. That's all part of who this baby of Bethlehem really is. He's our shepherd. The babe of Bethlehem is our divine shepherd. Then lastly, we learn of this baby of Bethlehem that he's been given the name of Hope. This has been the theme throughout this past month. And it's actually a name that's given to this baby of Bethlehem. And it's interesting that this name was given to this baby because many people in our world today, they're looking for hope. They're looking for answers out there. They're wondering, where can they turn to? Who can they turn to? Where can they find hope for today? And where can they find hope for tomorrow? And this passage basically tells us quite in plain words where we can find that hope. That hope is in Jesus. That hope is in Jesus. Jesus is the hope of the nations. Jesus is the hope of our world. When we look at our world today and we see all the chaos that's happening in our world today, there's only one answer. It is a change of government, but it's the government of God that we need to change to, the kingdom of God that we need to change to. This babe of Bethlehem was born that we might have hope, that we might have a confidence and an expectation that God is able to intervene in our lives on a daily basis and is also able to grant us eternal salvation as he is the hope of the world. The Bible also speaks that Jesus is the source of hope. Not only is he named hope, he is the source of hope. Again, reminding us that we need to look to him if we need hope in this world. This babe of Bethlehem is the hope of all the world. This babe of Bethlehem is the hope of the nations. That's who this baby is. As we celebrate our Christmas season, all these names are talking about who we're really serving. We really are serving an awesome God. We really are serving a great God because he's the Messiah. He is the anointed and promised one. He is Jesus. He is the Lord who saves us from our sins, the Savior of the world. He is Emmanuel, the God with us. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the ruler of rulers, the Supreme One. He is the divine shepherd and he is the hope of the world. As you come to this Christmas season and you remember the babe of Bethlehem, there's a lot to remember because this babe of Bethlehem is the greatest news that ever came to this world. The angel proclaimed on this day that I bring you great news. I bring you great news that's going to change your world. Today, Jesus Christ has been born. We celebrate that day. At our every Christmas season here, we celebrate the birth of our Savior, the birth of our Lord. And he's worthy of our celebration. He is worthy of our praise. And as we close this service, maybe you're here today and you've never welcomed this babe into your life. You've never come to that place to acknowledge that he's a lot more than just a baby. He's a lot more than just some Christmas celebrations. He's a lot more than just some crazy sweaters and decorations and Christmas trees and lights and presents. He's a whole lot more. He's the King of all kings. He is the God that is present with us. He is the Savior that has come to save us from our sins. Very important, wonderful news. And if you're here today and you've never welcomed him into your life and you would kind of like help in that area, we'd be very happy to pray with you as we close this service here this morning. And I'll stay here for a few moments, but we're going to celebrate a little bit different this morning about that Savior. We're just going to go and have some fellowship. We're going to have some hot chocolate and probably some coffee there too. Just some cookies. But we just want to celebrate. Because we have something worthy of celebrating. Jesus Christ has been born. This babe of Bethlehem is the most awesome baby that has ever been born. And I know we got a few more people here. They're going to have babies soon too, but the greatest baby has already been born. King of kings, Lord of lords. His name is Jesus, because he's going to save us from our sins. So Father, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son into this world, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. We acknowledge you as Jesus in this place. We acknowledge you, Jesus, that you have come to save us from our sins. And we welcome you into this church. We welcome you into this life. And we welcome you, Lord, to save us from our sins, to forgive us of our sins, and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. We thank you, Lord, because of that baby that came that day, that we can receive forgiveness, that we can receive hope, that we can receive a future, that we can be forgiven, that we can have an eternity in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And God, as we close here today,